The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord. Growing up with a brother that was only 14 months younger than me, I often found myself wanting to do what I thought Jesus was telling me to do in today's gospel, that usually I wanted to do something to win over my brother. I might have understood that a little differently at the age 8 than Jesus was intending it, but I basically heard this and said, well, Jesus is giving me the blueprint for how to win an argument or to convince my brother to do something. Whether it was he was doing something wrong or doing something that I didn't like, or maybe if I needed to convince him to do something in a game so that I could win, this seemed like Jesus was basically giving me the steps to do, right? First, go to your younger brother, tell him he's wrong, basically. Tell him what he's supposed to do. And if he doesn't listen to you, well, maybe bring a couple other people into it and kind of gang up on him, right? Maybe get my older sister into it. Maybe call my mom or dad into the situation, and then I'll probably get my way. And if he doesn't even listen to that, we'll bring in some other authority figure like the church or somebody to convince him to do what you want. Unfortunately, I don't think that's actually what Jesus is trying to teach us in today's gospel. I don't think he's trying to give us a way to win arguments or to get our way. Instead, he's trying to teach Peter and the apostles how to love generously. Not to do exactly what St. Paul says in the first reading, not to owe anything to anyone else other than to love each other. Because if you remember a few weeks ago, we had the reading of Peter declaring Jesus as the Messiah and being named as the first pope, that leader of the early church, the rock on which the church is going to be built. And a few chapters after that, but shortly before this reading, we have the apostles kind of arguing about that, right? Going to Jesus and saying, well, Jesus, which among us is going to be the greatest in your kingdom? Is it going to be Peter because he's the one in charge and he's the one that's always right? Or is it going to be one of us that maybe can do something more impressive than what Peter does? I think what Jesus realizes through that argument amongst the apostles is that he has to teach them a way that their job is actually to bring the church together, is to keep the unity of the church. At the point of the papacy, the point of Peter being the rock of the church, the point of even the 12 apostles is so that they can keep the church united around Christ. Not that any one particular person gets what they want or has the perfect solution to any situation. It actually wants the 12 to try to remain united, not to get divided and into factions and into rivalries. Because if you think about how the church looked at the time, or at least the Jewish community looked at the time, there were all these different factions and groups that seemed to be working against each other. And we hear about the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests and all these different people around the temple that have a little bit of a different idea of what they think God is telling them to do or how the church is supposed to work. I think Jesus wants the apostles to see that and see that they actually have to live a lot differently than those groups do. That they can't just take their pet project or their thing and say, well, this is the most important thing. You fast forward a couple generations, they're not supposed to say, well, my town is more important than your town. Right? The church in Ephesus or Jerusalem or Rome, none of these are meant to be more important than the other. Instead, they're meant to actually stay united in the presence of the Holy Spirit, staying united in their desire to do what God is calling the church to do on earth. So what Jesus wants to teach them is that when they do need to correct their brother, right, much like the prophet Ezekiel is receiving in the first reading, sometimes they're going to have difficult conversations with each other. Frankly, he probably knows sometimes the apostles are going to disagree with Peter. They're not going to like what he decides, or they're going to think he made a bad decision. And what Jesus wants is in those moments that they approach each other, that they try to fix it, but not in a way that's focused on their own perspective or their own ideas. But he wants them to solve that problem in a way that strengthens the unity of the church, in a way that keeps those 12 apostles united together, even if they have to make a decision or do something that some of them don't agree with. That instead of that dividing the church into different factions, like Jesus has seen the Jewish community divide into, he wants the church to always remain united. I think that's why he ends this gospel passage with something that doesn't seem to relate to the rest of it. That after Jesus talks about coming to your brother and correcting him and then bringing it to the church, he says, well, if he refuses to listen, one, treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. That's not saying kick him out and avoid him and ignore him, because the one writing this is actually Matthew, who was a tax collector. So that's one thing. He wants them to still be in relationship, to love one another, even if they can't agree. But then he concludes this with something that doesn't relate at all to an argument, that doesn't relate to correcting your brother. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That I think what Jesus wants the apostles and all his disciples to see in today's gospel is that if they bring these difficult conversations to the other person in an appropriate way, it actually can lead them to still being united regardless of the decision. It can actually help them, I would say, to see what the Holy Spirit is doing, to see the ways they're called to ask for God's help in that particular moment and work together for a solution. Actually reminds me of one of the things I usually work with couples on in the marriage prep process. We have an activity that we do about conflict resolution, which I know is everybody's favorite thing in the world. And when there's a conflict with a married couple, a big part of it is often feeling like, well, we have to do what I want or what you want, or maybe find some compromise in the middle that both of us don't like. And so we're both unhappy, and so that's good enough. But really the goal, especially in a marriage, in a relationship that's supposed to last your whole life, the goal is to come together and say, well, what is the problem? What is actually the issue? That's not just you do this or I do that. But what is the problem for the two of us, and how can the two of us work together for a solution? That actually it's meant to be the two of us versus the problem, not me versus you. I actually think that's exactly the same thing that Jesus is wanting to show the apostles and how Jesus wants the church to function. That very rarely should it be seen as, well, it's me versus you, or maybe the priest way versus what the people want to do, or this bishop wanting to do that and this bishop wanting to do that. What Jesus always wants the church to do is say, let's look at the problem together and treat it as us versus the problem rather than me versus you. Because Jesus knows that's the only way for the church to remain united. That's the only way for the church to be like the Holy Trinity, those three persons that are always acting in unison. Imagine that the Holy Trinity doesn't always see the same solution to a particular problem. But what they do is they work together. See, it's not about me having the right solution or doing things because you're more powerful and smarter than me. Instead, it's saying, how can all of us together work towards the solution? Because that way we can stay united rather than falling apart, being divided and allowing the evil one to conquer us. Brothers and sisters, let us pray for that kind of unity in our church, for our particular parish, but also for the church around the world. That in those times of difficulty and when we need to correct each other, And we are open to having those difficult conversations with courage and clarity. Let's also pray that we can always seek to work towards the solution together. But just like we do in our families, we won't allow those things to divide us and to take us apart from each other. But instead, even in difficult moments, we can grow in love of one another. We can grow in that unity here in the church on earth to be a proper image and representation of that unity that we see in the Trinity. Three distinct persons, always united in one God, working for the salvation of the world.